Welcome back to another episode of Inside the Show. I'm your host, Scuffy, alongside Cougs. And today's episode, we got another big episode. And that reason why it is because we just got off interviewing Stephen Haas, otherwise known as Tips. Hey, Cougs, this is probably our biggest episode yet. And let me tell you, it was a lot of fun to talk to Tips. It's about 40 minutes interview, and we just pretty much we went over how he got started, how he's and then transitioned to SDS, and we just took it from there. And where it just was a fun interview to see where he came from and where he ended up today in SDS and being part of the content team.
Yeah, and I mean, for somebody like me, I know you too, like I live for the content that comes out every single week, and just kind of getting to pick the brain a little bit of, I would argue, probably the mastermind behind the whole content flow of this game was just super interesting, really intriguing to see, you know, the things he had to say and how things work and what, you know, kind of their focus shifts to throughout the year. It's a really, really fun way to get a different perspective on the game. So it was cool. I think you guys listening are going to really enjoy this.
Yeah, I agree there, Cougs. I definitely think they're going to enjoy this interview. You're going to just get his whole experience, like we said, from creating content and now being part of the SCS team. But let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into the interview with Tips. And here it is. Enjoy. Let's bring our special guests for today's episode. And we have none other than Senior Project Manager of the Content Live team, Stephen Haas, who we, even now, we all know him as Tips. And Tips, it's a pleasure to have you on today's Inside the Show. It's been planning for the past couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and I'm excited the day has finally arrived. So welcome to Inside the Show.
It is my pleasure to be on your podcast, or now YouTube channel too.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's a lot of fun to just sit back like and talk on MLB's show and just talk about either through the content updates and just everything and just all everything about MLB's show. And now to have you on, it's a pleasure to an honor to have you on this episode. And for this episode, I think where we're going to start is pretty much how everything got started for you. We're content creators. Myself and Cougs are content creators. We've been doing this for years. And you are in a special case as well. You started creating content for this game and then became part of the SCS live content team. But before we get to that, I just want to know, where did it originate from, your love from baseball? Because right. I know you're a Marlins fan. I know you have that under your belt. So I just want to hear, like, where did that originally start from?
Yeah, great questions. Grew up in Miami right when the Marlins franchise started back in 1993. I was a young kid playing Little League, playing lots of wiffle ball in the backyard with my buddies. And of course, when they won the World Series in 97 and Game 7, walk-off hit with Edgar Renteria, that was a moment I'll never forget, staying up late for with my family and friends. And then they won it again in 03 a little later on. And, you know, I had a great time going to Marlins games. Back in, you know, that stadium, even the noon or 1 o'clock games in the South Florida heat didn't deter me from getting like the $3 fish tank tickets or the $10 hot dog and popcorn tickets, you know, that came with your ticket. It was always easy to get a ticket to see the best baseball players in the world. I kind of always enjoyed that. That's kind of where I got started. And I've been a baseball fan all my life. My dad, a lifetime Cardinals fan growing up in St. Louis. So it's always been in our family.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, I remember always going, like, we went down to Orlando and Marlins was always a big thing with the colors, the teal, and then the old Miami Stadium. That's one stadium I wish I got to see before him, because it was just such a unique type of stadium. I think it had like 420. It was just the dimensions were very, very offset than you normally see in the MLB stadium. And one memory I always get is the Andres Galarraga home run that he hit there that one year. I don't know if you guys remember it. I forgot where it was on the Rockies, and he hit like a blast. It was like the triple. Is there the triple deck there? I think it's second deck, triple deck. But it was absolutely a blast. But anyway, that's by far my memory.
Sure. Yeah. I remember the Galarraga home run a little. The farthest home run I ever saw hit there was during the home run chase with Sosa Maguire back then. And Maguire hit two bombs that night. I was there for the game and he hit it, you know, way up where they normally were putting tarp on the upper deck, but everyone came out to see him in that game as he was on his way to setting the record. And what a magical year. I remember some other games there too. Randy Johnson, Dontrell Willis. And I'll just preface all that by saying, I know I named some big name former players there, but don't read too much into it.
Yeah. Yeah. So from playing baseball and then, I mean, from watching baseball, watching the Marlins, what was your earliest memory for video games? So I'm want to make the connection for how we get from baseball to MLB the Show. Mm-hmm. What was, I guess, your first video game or maybe baseball video game that you might have played of?
Yeah, it was with Ken Griffey Jr. Back in the day. I learned how to type thanks to Mario. I learned how to do a lot of things thanks to video games. I'm not kidding. And so it was a lot of fun. I think the idea of interacting with the sport and with the players that I came to love and kind of, you know, really look up to as a kid, that was mind blowing to then play with them in a video game and has always been ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, that was my go-to. That was that. And I believe Triple Play, Sega Genesis Gold. I don't know, but Ken Griffey is always a great game to play and still is. If you go back to it, still plays up to standard. I mean, look at what you guys said. You guys created retro mode, which is pretty much based off that Ken Griffey game. And it still brought me back when playing that.
Yeah, I loved the PCI or whatever they called it back then. It kind of had like the rings and it was a lot of fun,
Yeah. So let's transition to when you started creating content. As we mentioned, once again, to our listeners, Tips was just like any other content creator. He has his YouTube channel. It right now it still has 11.7K subs on it. I think the first two videos you did was hitting tips for directional of all, and then I think it was, yeah, you started off hitting tips and then you graduate into pretty much everything that we still see today, whether that's through market tips, that's through how to generate more stubs and what roster updates there are, upgrade predictions and stuff like that. It's kind of cool to look at your channel and say, hey, we're still doing this today. But what got you into actually started creating content?
It seems like a lifetime ago, honestly, that I made any of those. I don't remember a lot of it, but it's still there, apparently. I guess I haven't taken it down. I mean, I've always enjoyed video editing from my days back in high school. I used to go to our high school baseball games, do the announcing, take video of the game, turn it around for the home run highlights the next day. I love that. I went into broadcast journalism at Syracuse, went into the TV business. I produced newscasts all around the country, you know, for some ABC affiliates. I loved the fast pace of that. And so when I transitioned out of TV news and into my next career, my second career, which was PR and advertising, I really still had that video editing itch. And I said, you know, how can I keep that sharp? What can I do? And I just got a PS4 for MLB The Show. I saw how easy it was to share clips, save them, put them on a thumb drive, whatever. It's gotten so much easier now to do all that, even in the last 6-7 years from when I used to do it. And after that, I just started kind of doing my own thing, which was like, all right, I saw these roster updates happened every now and then. They were kind of scattered. Let's talk about them. Then they got a little more regular and we were able to do more content around that. And, you know, really what I also saw was there were some fans out there that just didn't understand Diamond Dynasty or different very basic parts of the game. And so I made the MLB The Show Tips Twitter and YouTube channel, which you're referring to. And it was really to help a lot of fans to share content, share ideas, whether it was about the market, whether it was about different flashbacks and everything else. And there were some really, really interested fans back then that I kind of did some other content with. And here we are today. And you guys, some of you are making a career out of it. I made it into a career sort of as well and never thought I'd make it this career. But it's been an awesome journey for me.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's still crazy to look back now, like from just like 5 years ago, how big the community, not just for content creators, just in general for like the MLB show player base, and just has grew exponential. And it's kind of always fun to look back where it all started. And it's fun to look back at the like cards that were released, or just like other content that was released. Now, when you were playing MLB show, like when creating content for you too, was there any particular thing that you liked the best playing MLB show, or did you just do it all?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the rosters and the predictions and the market were the most interesting thing to me about how it kind of ebbed and flowed based on what was going on in real baseball. And I'm a big fantasy baseball player as well. And those are my kind of three. It's like I can't get out of this web that keeps spinning, which is fantasy baseball, real baseball, and then MLB the show. And that's what keeps me going all season of, if you're paying attention to the sport, you're going to be good at fantasy. And you also have kind of some inside knowledge of what's probably coming in the roster updates. And then that translated into, you know, the economy, the stubs, and how to build a better team. And so I love that. And I think I still enjoy that part. I'm not as involved in the roster updates as some may think. We have a great live content team between Luis and Rory and Lane doing a lot of the work there. So I always like to get surprised with the rest of the community too on Fridays.
That's awesome. I'm terrible at predicting. That's why I look for other content creators. Of course, our good friend Paul Spore. He does a fantastic job as well. And he gets a little. It's fun when I watch Paul and how invested and how much knowledge he uses. Like you said, the fantasy base of it towards the roster updates, and usually he's spot on with it. So it's kind of fun to see.
Absolutely. And, you know, this moment, this interview right now is kind of full circle for me, to be honest, talking to Cougs, talking to Scovey, because 6 years ago, I requested an interview with another developer, Lance, for a different kind of roundtable podcast that I did with Outside Slider and Carl Dude and Cardinal Bird, to name a few. And, you know, this is, again, kind of surreal that now the seats are in the other, you know, I'm here. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it just shows you, like, go back to what I was saying before, just shows you how much this game has grown. I mean, Cougs, you started on MLB Show content when, 15 or 16?
Very briefly in 15, but mainly started getting the wheels turning in 16. Yeah. Yeah, this seems like forever ago.
Now, let me ask you this one thing, Cougs. When you first started, was a channel for you to go to is go to tips, like just to see the market updates like back then? I'm not too sure what type of content you were doing back then.
No, yeah, I mean, at the time I was looking up to everybody who was, you know, kind of pioneering the community, if you will. And, you know, like you said, Cardinal Bird, tips with those, you know, very informational heavy videos, which were really cool. So all of the guys there, you know, kind of were like the foundation of the community and kind of let a bunch of other creators come up and thrive. So like you said, it's cool to kind of see how this is all kind of, you know, turned full circle, if you will, to see where everybody is and where everybody was like 5 years ago. And it's very interesting, and it's kind of surreal when you look back on it, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's only going to grow from now. I mean, we had probably the biggest year that we ever had with MLB shows, with multi-platform, with a lot of new user base, and it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get bigger from here. So let me ask you about your transition from creating content and then now going into the content team. At first, what was you going through your mind? Like, oh wait, I'm going to get to actually work on this game and actually be part of the SDS team and be hands on. I mean, that has been like one of the most surreal moments. I'm just thinking, trying to put myself in your shoes, and I can't really, but I'm sure it was like one of the most surreal moments. Like, just like, oh wow, this is really happening.
Absolutely. I mean, I looked up to the developers, and I know there's some people that are looking up to us, you know, about the game and listening to this. And it was surreal. And I still do that every few weeks. I pinch myself and say, is this real? Like, I went from a fan to a developer, and here I am. ultimately, you know, the way it went down is I went out to see the early builds of the games like you both have done. And we've had a lot of good conversations. Nick Livingston, our creative director, said, you know, we're trying to build this live team. We think there's something else we can do here to keep the content fresh in the game. And I got the call. I moved out from North Carolina out to California back in 2016. And within a few weeks, we were putting out the first career tribute or career salute missions. I remember with, you know, some great players like Big Poppy and stuff. And it was awesome to see a reaction from the community like days later. And I said, we're onto something here. And here we are years and years later.
You just took me down memory lane with the career tribute things like that. Oh, I totally forgot about that, dude. That was so long ago. It's crazy.
Yeah, content definitely has grew over the years. Now, like, when you start, like, working over there, now, first off, you go to San Diego. I'm sure that was nice with all the weather out there. I mean, when we, myself and Cougs, I mean, Cougs is on the in California already, but for me, going from New York to Cali, I mean, every day is just like, that's what I want. Just every day over here, 70 degrees, nice weather. Mm-hmm. But, and then you get to work on this game all year round. Now, going through a normal day and just on the content live team, can you give us like a brief overview of what you guys do, or is it whatever you could tell us?
Yeah, for sure. I'll expand it to kind of a normal week because, as you guys know, there's kind of content drops multiple times a week, especially on Fridays. So I know, like today, we had our 11 a.m. meeting where we all get together. We talk about what we saw over the weekend, what was the reaction to some of our content we dropped on Friday. We talked about any issues we saw. Pretty good weekend this weekend with what fans reacted to with that roster update, over 300 updates. So we were talking about that, what was happening in the real sport, where the headlines, where the stories, what could be tops now moments. And we're already building, we're testing, we're gathering the art assets, whether it's off Getty Image from Tops. And then we'll be testing that probably tomorrow and Wednesday and getting ready to roll that out Friday. And, you know, that's pretty typical, but we're also planning for, hope this isn't a spoiler, it sort of is, Team Affinity season 2 is coming up pretty soon. I believe it's next Friday, the 28th. So get ready for that. So we've been talking about that for weeks and we're putting some final touches on that as it's going through testing. And, you know, we're constantly looking to see, like, how can we tweak the inning program? How can we change up the Evo or the, you know, the player programs? How much XP is everyone getting? Where is everyone? We have tons of analytics, tons of data flowing in that we're looking at every day. We're comparing, you know, who's going after Kemp versus Bumgarner right now for daily moments. You know, what should we do for next month if no one's picking the pitcher, for instance? Although Bumgarner does hit, so look at those hitting stats for Bum and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of listening that we're doing. I know I start almost every day by looking through my Twitter feed, which includes 50 to 100, you know, folks on Twitter talking about MLB The Show or the sport. I also am on Reddit. I'm on theshow.com, community forums. I'm looking, I'm listening. And of course, I'm on Twitch trying to watch the Bronze Bandits and others.
Yeah, a little shout out. Yo, I was so close. So close. I was playing with them last night. I was trying to drive them to World Series. I had this. I'm sorry. You just brought up the memory from me last night. So, Cougs, I was playing with my Bronze team. And I started a stream at 7:50. I got the first win. And I was like, all right, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. And then it's the bottom of the ninth. I'm down by one. And this guy made one of the most heads up play I ever seen. I had Jazz Chisholm on. I see him being a BR stud eventually, but that's a different story. And I had a ground ball to second base. It was a dribbler. And I thought it was going to get through the hole. I thought it was C9 single. But the second baseman gets him. I'm already sending the Jazz at home. The dude goes home with the ball and gets me out for the third out of the game. And I was just like, that's how my season's going to end. But anyway.
Heartbreaker, right, just man.
A heartbreaker. But it's fun, man. It's a lot of fun. I got to ask you for the player of month. Mm-hmm. We got that probably, what, 2-3 weeks into release. That's mm-hmm. probably the like quickest player a month release we ever got. We were talking about that last week on the podcast, how much we just love the program. I think Cook said it's probably, if not the best or what we think the best program that we got so far for player a month. But that must have been like, okay, we're jumping right into content, like right from the get-go. I mean, we had a lot of content from the beginning of the game. Don't get me wrong, but just like it feels like it's nonstop for you guys.
Absolutely. And Cougs, I feel like there's a reason you really love that program too, if I'm not mistaken. I think Ramon gave you that shout out already, so I'll do it as well. But yeah, because of the timeline.
That was pretty awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah, because of the timeline, we were able to start reacting to the baseball season much faster this year, which, I mean, we love with roster updates. And yeah, like you said, monthly awards coming out real fast. It was definitely a little bit of a change for us. Normally, we give it a little more soak time. We can see what's happening because we launch a little sooner, but this year, a little different. But it was still a lot of fun. And, you know, reacting to the baseball season is really our favorite part in addition to the historical stuff. So we want to be able to do that as fast as we can. And we loved it.
Actually, just to jump off that tip, since you're talking about, you know, that's one of your favorite things to do. You're loving, like, you know, seeing how the season plays out. Throughout all your years of being on the live content team, dating all the way back to, I think it was, what, 17 or 16. Yeah. Do you have like a favorite program or a favorite piece of content that you've put out throughout that time there? Is it the career tribute, like you were saying? Was it something else? Like, is there any one big thing that stood out to you over the years?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a few things I'll touch on that come to mind. I mean, my favorite probably still, though, is the very first program ever, which was the Diamond program back in MLB The Show 17 with Griffey on it. And fun fact, that card that was used as his main reward, where he's kind of glowing and white, I scanned that. We put it into the game as card art. I still have the card on my desk. So that's always kind of near and dear, as the very first program ever. The favorite series that we've worked on, the Milestone series this year is a lot of fun. It's very beautiful to look at. I also love Future Stars and Prospects, because those are brand new names, faces, characters to a lot of our fans. And just like we can introduce someone to Babe Ruth or Cy Young back from the early 1900s, it's also just as fun for me to learn about those legends and then learn about these new prospects and minor league players that are up and coming, like Jazz, who is just electric for the Marlins right now. And he's back from the injured list. I love learning about these guys a year or two in advance. I feel smarter. I feel more educated. And it's wild that a video game is helping me do that. The card art's beautiful too. And of course, it doesn't hurt when they're nice, juicy diamonds and you can put them in a lot of different positions. So I love a lot of that.
Yeah, the Future Star cards first, just getting the full minor league roster was a big win, but the Future card, it made me learn about Dylan Carson, who I call him Dilson, because he's just been like absolute, like, I love his 97 card from last year. And like you said, the Jazz card, I think a lot of people loved the Jazz card last year. And then just, it got to us, like, for the people that didn't really know about the minors, got to look up those players and then become fans of them. And we haven't looked back, and it was a lot of fun. And there is going to be some juicy ones I'm sure that are still going to come our way. Of course, we're not going to give anything away, but I just know that once the Future Star cards, because all we've seen so far is Prospect Series cards so far. So we haven't seen the Future Star cards just yet this year.
They're coming.
They're coming. Yeah. is there any like favorite legends you loved? Like, knowing that you're part of the content team, like, you got excited for, like, oh, we get to make this card coming into this year and the community is going to be very hyped, whether it could be from this year with, like, say, Pedro, or from previous years when we got Babe, or any other type of legend.
Yeah, it's the same answers usually. Like, you asked, where was my favorite or first baseball game? It was Griffey. Within a few months of starting at San Diego Studio, I got to meet Griffey. He was on our cover in 17. He's still one of our biggest legends. It was wild when Luis and we made his attributes, and then he was there in the studio and we're like, what do you think? And he's like, my bunting needs to be better. We're like, Ken, you never bunted. He goes, I would have been the best bunter if they just let me bunt, you know? And it's going through those moments over the years, and we've had other opportunities to talk and listen to stories. That's been, on one hand, like just a little too surreal for me, another pinch me moment. The other is Babe Ruth, where you watch him in like childhood movies and he's like this figment of your imagination sort of, because he's larger than life and no one's really alive that saw him play. And how do you kind of capture that mystique, that aura of the legend of Babe Ruth, and put him in a video game and assign like numbers and attributes, and you look at the stats and they're eye-popping like in real life from the baseball record books. So how do you capture that in a baseball game? How do you, you know, it's that was a challenge and also really fun to do. The Sultan of SWAT, and you can go hit home runs with him and put him in the outfield next to Trout or whoever else.
I still remember that 18 reveal trailer, because I mean, 17, we knew it was Griffey like from the start. I think we got the cover before the trailer. And, you know, when that 18 reveal trailer came out and there was the Babe Ruth tease at the end with him calling his shot and yeah. showed the number 3, I still think that was the most exciting reveal that I can remember on MLB, because I was one of those people who were like, oh, they're never going to get Babe Ruth. Like that. That's just one of those guys. That's an impossible get. And then to see him show up like that, that was chef's kiss. That was prime content right there.
Yeah. With the card, I mean, now speaking like with the cards, like when he was originally released, we had Immortal. I think it had like 125 stats. Attributes, let's just say. It will kill me if I said that. all the way. And then now we gradually increase different series. Do you find that, like with the Ward series, Prime, Signature series, now do you see with the different type of series you have? By the way, second half series I love, in the Milestone, I think, great additions. Do you find that more flexible now, like, and make it easier for you to come up with cards because you have those multiple type of series that you can work with?
Yeah. And going back to the like education of a player and his career or his promise and potential, I think all of these series, that's kind of the idea. It's like, let's highlight the second half of a player. Let's highlight what they did in the postseason. Let's highlight a single game, a career achievement with Milestones. I think all of those give us a storytelling ability that's what we're trying to go after. That's kind of how we view each series, is what story are we trying to tell with this? And that's very flexible, and it's a lot of fun to highlight and showcase different parts of players' career. Tops now, it's like a single game, you know, when a pitcher hits a home run that should have no business hitting a home run, that's a moment you don't forget. And that's really cool to see that in a video game.
I mean, we saw an example with that with the Rizzo card. When he pitched, I thought that was a great addition. I love those little things, especially for a silver card. You never know in BR. You never know. You might need like a lefty off the like for the bullpen to hit him with. It just keep him in there, and then he hits a home run for you.
Dude, not so even BR. I faced him on Legend in ranked seasons, and he was giving me trouble. That zero velo messes with you.
It's another gear.
Oh boy, and this is screwball too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's fun. Now I do want to ask you this about series. The All-Star Series, is that a full year or is that going to be more like a first half? I'm not too sure if you can answer this or not, but...
Yeah, I believe the way we look at All-Star Series is, was he an All-Star that year? We had second half heroes this year, so it does beg the question, would we look at, you know, the first half hero type, which may also be All-Star? So there may be a change coming. There may be some new content or new series there, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. All right. So we'll have to look out for. Going through like all this past and just going throughout the years, is there been like one, besides like maybe content wise, just one big thing that you took away from now being on the other side of the table?
It's a great question. So, you know, when it comes to the fans, I think, while I do listen and watch both of you, I love, listening to, you know, Twitch streamers with five people are in their chat. I like reading comments, like I said, on theshow.com, the community forums. I think no matter how big an audience you have or not, or following on Twitter, I think you have a voice, you know, as a fan of the game. And I don't think I ever realized that, even as I kind of grew in, you know, my following back in the day, that the developers are always looking for any, you know, just to make sure everyone's happy. And that's really our goal, to make sure you're having a good time. And that's something that I think I really am impressed with, that how much conversation gets created behind the scenes that fans never see, because we're always listening. We're always watching. You guys are sending us stuff as well. And we're finding new faces, new talent out there. It's great to see Shelfie and Ashley streaming with MLB. It's great, you know, to see all of you growing as well. And like you said, we've got a whole lot of new fans that really need help getting started, whether it's Diamond Dynasty, whether it's Road to the Show with your ball player, you know, Stadium Creator is a whole nother beast that some of you have done a great job highlighting all the features and getting lost in what could, you know, what crowdsourced environments bring to the table. So all of that's been really cool. But yeah, ultimately, Scuf, it's definitely, you know, how much conversation gets started off of one person's opinion or, you know, whatever they post. It's really cool.
You brought it up, I meant to ask this before, because I know that I believe that was one of the biggest things you were looking for, is the stadium creator.
Yeah.
And see the stadium creations. Have you been going through the vaults and just looking? I've been seeing, it feels like every day there's a new one. If you guys haven't seen Tater Tot, Captain Tater Tot, he's been creating amazing stadiums. Yesterday he made Avengers Stadium, pretty much made the Avengers like home, I guess, I don't know, where they meet. And it was, he took the Angels A and just kind of diversed that a little bit to make it seem like the Avengers Tower, and it came out flawless. I thought it's kind of cool. Just go through each day and see what the community comes up with.
Absolutely. I've been trying to download a stadium every day and play with it. So as you're watching this, listening to this, I might be playing in your stadium right now. I've got to check out some of the content creators. I know you're now starting to put some of your subs on the outfield walls, and all of that I think is great. And those are the things that we didn't anticipate that I think we're going to continue seeing more and more of.
Oh yeah. Without doubt. And it's been a lot of fun to see how, it's just keep on progressing how creative a lot of people are with the city. I mean, shout out to Riding Rosters. They did, I believe, all AAA stadiums. It was pretty fantastic to see. But let me ask you this. I have two more questions here before we get off. One question is, of course, I know you can't answer fully, but, you know, I feel like as myself and Cougs, we got to answer this question. Should we expect any big surprises coming out through DD this year?
What do you want to hear? I mean, what do you want me to say? The answer is, of course, we have some more. We have some more legends still to come. I think I already spoiled the season 2 of Team Affinity, May 28th. That's coming up, and there's a good chance those collide a little. I really hope personally that we have another opportunity to pull off All-Star Game and Home Run Derby content. The season and everything looks scheduled right now, which I'm excited about. If you weren't with us back in 19, we turned around All-Star and Home Run Derby cards like the same night of the event. I know some of you on the East Coast were up late waiting for those cards to drop. I think, you know, a little after the Derby and the game, but that was a lot of fun. I think we're going to try to do that again. We had a blast as a team doing that. We had some pizza and had a good time watching it together. We'll have to do that, you know, wherever we are in the world now. But that's something I'm looking forward to as well, that I hope happens in July.
Yeah, and then now it's going to be at Coors. That's going to be a fun. I hope it happens. Coors Field, Home Run Derby. I mean, last time that happened, I believe Griffey won. That was in 98. And now with the young power players that we have, I was telling Coos, with him being an Angels fan, we need to get a Tani there. Oh. Like, I want to see a Tani in a Home Run Derby.
You are, this is music to my ears, Scuffy.
I just imagine now him getting a Home Run Derby card. I mean, even the Home Run Derby cards from last year were great with the Judge, Cano. I know they were kind of a little flashback, but they were great last year. But I remember this, the Vlad and Jock Pearson show off from 19 that you were discussing, and just how hyped that was. And then seeing the cards immediately after, that was a lot of fun.
How great would it be if Ohtani pitched and hit in the All-Star game?
Tips, I can't handle this. You can't just throw this at me, Tips.
I don't know if that's possible, but it'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. I hope that's a thing now. And now I'm praying that happens. Oh man. But yeah, we'll have a lot more to look forward to this year. Now, the last question before we get out here. First off, I want to say thank you for taking your time and joining myself and Cougs and being on the podcast. It's great to have you on. And I just want to leave this question now here for the last question. Any advice you will give to you kind of already did this throughout the podcast, but I just want to bring it up one more time. Any advice you would give to any like content creator out there that maybe not just plays MLB or just like you took something that you're passionate about and then you kind of made it into your full-time job. Not saying everyone's going to be able to do that, but it's cool to see the progression of how you began creating content and now actually develop that content.
Yeah. It's great to watch both of you too, because you both know who you are and what you like. You blend information with entertainment or education. I think I agree with Cougs that I kind of leaned a lot more towards informational or educational. And if you're doing something you enjoy and you have confidence that's who you are, that's what you want to be talking about, and people will find you. You will grow an audience because they will relate to that. I think there's too much emphasis right now on chasing, you know, just my opinion of views and stats and everything else, or who's getting a hoodie from us. I think is a little too overemphasized. And like I said, I'm in streams. I'm looking for YouTube channels a lot of time from people that I've never seen, never heard for, but they're making content, and I'm seeing what are they doing different that no one else is doing, or they're doing it in their own style. And that's where I think talent will be discovered. So if you're starting out or you're continuing on, just know yourself, be confident, grow your brand that way. I've seen that with Bronze Bandits. Like, I don't know who gets more excited about Bronze players than you, Scuff. Like, there's no one, I don't think. And whether that's the Bronze players, you got Stadium Creator, I've seen give, you know, new life to channels this year. Who knows what's to come? And I think, you know, whether we're the ones creating the features or you guys are the ones creating, you know, new storylines about your creative players or your franchise or your Diamond Dynasty squad or you're racing to be the first to get Lightning Buxton, all of that makes for really watchable content that I like. You know, we'll have to work on the thumbnails. Those are looking all very similar these days, though. I got to say that.
Well, Cougs, you got anything on that? You're more precision.
I gotta give you more faces, man. All I have is, you know, I gotta throw some more, you know, variety your way.
Yeah, backwards and forwards.
Hey, but there's so I believe they say that. once again, Tips, this was a lot of fun to have you on the podcast. Hopefully we could do this again. And I definitely appreciate you having here and to just see how you got started, where you are now, and then the future of MLB The Show for content wise. And that's going to do it for us. So thank you again. Of course, if you still can follow Tips on MLB The Show _tips, if I'm not mistaken, at twitter.com. So, and like he was mentioning to you, all the listeners or content creators that are listening right now, he might be watching you tonight. Who knows? So it's always fun to know that, like, and I, from talking to not just you, but a lot of people from SES, you feel, I'm sure Cougs would say that I feel, and you see it like live action that you guys do listen and do watch everyone. Cause I remember it's with the CCL last year, I thought that was a fantastic addition. And, I don't know. It's just been a lot of fun to see how this game has been growing throughout the years.
Appreciate it. You guys have both done a great job, and you're both leaders, you know, whether you realize it or not, you're the ones that someone else is looking up to, or in 5 years they'll be saying, I remember watching Cougs. He was my favorite, or Scuffy, and he was my favorite streamer.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah. Cougs, you got anything else? And we good to go?
Nah, man. Thanks for coming on. This was a lot of fun. It's always nice to get a little bit more of a perspective on different parts of the community and different ways things go down. So thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate this.
Anytime. Rosie's getting bigger and bigger by the day too. Incredible.
Yeah. I'm surprised you can't hear her snoring through the mic.
Hey, the upgrade. That's all it is. The upgrade, Cougs. I love it. I love it. But that's going to do us for today's episode of Inside the Show. We appreciate you guys listening and or watching us on YouTube. Be sure to follow us on our Twitter account. It's at Inside the Show PC. Once again, that's Inside the Show PC. We're on YouTube as you see us live right here on this video at youtube.com/InsideTheShow. You guys keep on grinding. We'll catch you guys next time on Inside the Show.